assisting the operation by alerting others to prevent apprehensions and concealing evidence. I'm proud to say that we successfully put this international gun trafficking operation out of business. In this case, keeping 65 firearms off the streets of Canada and preventing them from being used in any number of violent crimes.
This is breaking news coming out of Mississauga right now. That's the voice of Eric DeGree. He is the special agent in charge from Philadelphia. ATF is alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. And yes, it's still the same live press conference about the $20 million gold heist at Pearson. But now there are guns involved in this as well. I mean, it's just become incredibly complicated, but fascinating to me to hear the details. Now, I remember the mystery of how does a truckload of gold bars just go missing? Well, now we have a pretty good idea of almost minute by minute how this unfolded. When we broke away, I said they're giving the names of the suspects, no big deal. But when you see their connections, it starts to make sense as well. One, a former Air Canada employee. The other, an owner of a jewelry store. It's like one of those teams you see in a heist movie, put together everybody's expertise, brought together into one place for this massive theft. An organization to literally melt these gold bars down, turn them into crude jewelry, and whatever else we did with them. I'm sure there's more to come that's just going to blow our minds. Mark Mendelson, former homicide detective, owner of Mark Mendelson Consulting, a private investigation firm, and CTV's and Bell Media's crime expert. Mark, this is really something. I'm sorry to pull you away from the press conference, but you've been around a long time. You don't hear this level of detail from Canadian authorities very often.
No, good morning, Bill. You can't write this stuff. If you tried to write a novel like this, you couldn't do it. But you're right. I've been watching it, and you know, it's quite a fascinating story. I mean, we all thought from the beginning somebody had to have an inside ear, either with Air Canada or Brinks or the Air Canada bonded warehouse. And as you mentioned in the intro, now we're starting to see where those connections are, and it's quite the story, but it's also quite the story how this all comes about through alcohol, tobacco, and firearms as well. I mean, you know, you got a guy who's essentially stopped by the police for a traffic violation, and he's got guns in the car, so he bolts out of the car. He eventually gets arrested. They find the guns, and apparently there's something in one of the firearm cases that leads these investigators to Peel Region to the gold heist. I mean, you can't write this, Bill.
Yeah. You know, in every good heist movie, there's that scene where they've succeeded and they're about to go their separate ways. And they say, don't go crazy spending the money, which I never understood. If I'm going to take part in a heist and I can't spend the money, what's the point? But don't go spending the money. And then, of course, one of the guys, let's say it's the guy who was the electronics expert. He shows up at a bar with his girlfriend, who's now wearing a $5,000 mink coat. And everybody else freaks out. So in this case, it's some guy driving badly brings the whole thing tumbling down. You're right. It's you can't write it.
Yeah, you just played out the scene in Goodfellas, and I was going to go there myself, Bill. Absolutely. I mean, you would think that if you had, you know, a portion of that 20 million gold heist, would you really have to get into the business of importing guns into Canada? Why can't you just lay low? But now we're seeing all the tentacles that are involved in this thing. And I would suggest it's not over either, Bill. I think there's more to come. It was also interesting to note in the first part of the presser that I saw just before I came on with you is that that airway bill that they talked about, which is what this.
Well, let me hold you there, Mark, because we isolated that soundbite. It stood out to us as well. Let's play it.
The suspect reversed his vehicle to the loading dock and exited the truck. The suspect was carrying a fraudulent airway bill as he approached the warehouse. The image you see is the actual airway bill that the suspect produced. The airway bill is for a legitimate shipment of seafood that was picked up the day before. This duplicate airway bill was printed off from a printer within Air Canada Cargo. Once inside the warehouse, the suspect provided it to Air Canada Cargo warehouse attendant. A short time later, a forklift arrived with a container of gold and foreign currency and loaded it into the rear of the suspect's truck.
So they have this bill that's printed inside the Air Canada warehouse. What did you want to say about that, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think you have the perfect plan, and then all of a sudden some little technical detail is the thing that sets the fireworks aflame. and puts everybody on notice that there's something going on within Air Canada as well. And it's those little things. I mean, I guess you can't predict them when you're planning out crimes like this, but to think that they'd be able to compare the printers and be able to show conclusively that that phony document was printed on an Air Canada printer, you know, that just probably changed the entire course of the investigation. And of course, they've got all kinds of video. It sounds like they spent months grabbing, you know, street cameras, security cameras, all kinds of things to track this truck, which was driven by the same guy that got arrested in Florida for the guns. He's the driver. But they tracked that all the way. You know, some pretty darn good police work.
Never trust the wheelman, right? It's always the wheelman. It's going to go wrong.
The weak link.
That was your crazy brother-in-law. I knew we shouldn't have brought him into the group.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's interesting because it all sounds easy now, right? But, you know, it took months and months to do this. And I'm sure it was painstaking going all over all of this, just the video part, following that truck's movement one video camera at a time, off the highways and eventually until it disappears. But by now you kind of have an idea of where they're headed. And then you got to get production orders and search warrants to check all those different locations where it might be. I can't even imagine the manpower hours that goes into that.
Oh, monstrous. And it did take a year. I mean, they executed 37 search warrants, Bill. That's a lot, okay? Because each one of those is a standalone document that you have to get over to a trier of fact, a justice or a superior court justice to sign off on. So that's a lot of work that went into that part of it as well. You know, and as you mentioned earlier, they got guys who are in the jewelry business who have been charged now. They melted down some of this gold to produce some crude, crappy looking jewelry that, you know, maybe they were hoping the cops or customs would never suspect. But it's actually, you know, melted out of the gold that was stolen. So there's a lot of errors and mistakes that they went, you know, they went through. But at the end of the day, how do you get rid of almost 500 kilograms of gold? You just can't walk into your normal cash for gold guy in the strip plaza, pull up the truck and say, how much are you going to give me for this? it's got to be melted down. It's got to be rearranged and reconfigured in ways that you can actually cash in. So there are all kinds of risks. You know, maybe it wasn't so hard to steal it, but it was certainly going to be hard for them to get rid of it and make some money on it. So, you know, kudos to Peel Region. Kudos to the ATF. I think they've done a great job on this one.
Yeah, well, now some of the mystery is solved for us, and now the courts will have to deal with the rest. But thanks for your time this morning, Mark. Good to talk to you.
You're going to be the wheel man in the movie, Bill.
No, I'm going to be the guy who gets drunk and buys my wife a fur coat. Why steal money if you can't spend it, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a good morning, Bill.
Thanks. Not that money's going to do you much good when you're locked up, right? I guess you could buy cigarettes and use them to keep yourself safe in jail. Mark Mendelson, former homicide detective and crime expert consultant for Bell Media. It's the Morning Rush. Good morning, Dr. Perry Dworkin, coming up next with medical myth busting.